You ready to fight somebody,
I'm
right?
I'm so ready.
Welcome back to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto, back by popular demand, by a lot of demand, is everybody's favorite co-host of the show. The real reason why people listen, I've been told from guests, is to hear the luscious tones of Lady J. Lady J, speak to the people.
What's up, y'all?
You wanna rap so bad right now, right? Say it. Just say it.
This is my jam.
But you wanna punch my brain, my nose into my nose bone, or my brain
That's
into
one of the sickest lines ever in my life. That's but one of the sickest lines.
What does he say? Show them your hip hop credentials. What does he say? You said it to me yesterday, actually.
Because I actually did stab you in your brain with your nose bone. I really did. I rocked your face.
You rocked my face by accident. Don't get people thinking that you're rocking my face for real. Daff J, people been asking for you. I have to be honest. People have been saying that I need to bring you to the Comic Cons. People will remember me more if they meet you. What do you have to say about
what?
That? Yeah.
I'm so bashful right now.
You feel bashful or you feel badass with the Mobb Deep playing?
This song makes me do things that that people deserve. I listen to this song only when deemed necessary, because this song will make me do things that...
It's not a great song to start off your day. Because you might.
It's the perfect song to start off your day, but depending on the mood you're in, because then you'll probably come. I mean, I will cut someone.
I believe you. If that's playing in the headphones on the bus, you might just stab somebody.
Mm.
Shiv, as they say in The Dark Knight Returns. So yeah, no, really, people have been asking for you. The insane mercenary, people don't believe you're real. They think you're an apparition.
Well, you've been busy.
Well, they're calling you my sister because you don't want to come out or be seen with me. They don't believe you're real.
I'm very real in the flesh.
Now I see you in the flesh, but I'm saying they say to me, you know what? If you want to be remembered, if you want to have a little bit of like that effect on people, so that, oh yeah, I remember, because I meet some people and I have to remind them, like, oh yeah, remember we met here? Oh yeah, that's right. Whereas other guys, they know him. They've got some sort of like a personality.
Yeah, I don't think you give yourself enough credit.
I'm mild mannered. I'm like a Clark Kent, right?
You're being modest.
No, it's true though, right? I don't want to go and be remembered for how I look. I want people to remember a conversation. But there's other guys, like Martin, for instance. Shout out to Martin Slam Duncan, Fastball Special. He's got the brightest yellow shirt ever. You can't be missed.
Like, I can't be missed when I wear that on the subway. Like, people.
Yeah, and it works, right? The whole purpose of that shirt is to grab your attention, and it worked.
Very marketable, very smart.
Yeah, I'm in my cool Cave of Solitude t-shirt, but it's, you know, it's gray with the black imprint on it. It doesn't strike you as much. I think the next one I'm gonna make is pink. People will not forget
some hot pink.
That crazy guy in the pink shirt. Yeah. So I've been told I gotta bring you around with me, and I'll be remembered. What do you have to say about that?
I'm flattered.
You gotta come.
That's really cool. Thanks for the love, man. I appreciate that.
Are you gonna stay hidden though, or will you come to me to one of the smaller little venues?
Look, I think everyone who does listen to the show and does know me personally and via podcast is familiar with the fact that I rather not be in a crowd. That's not my forte, but I mean, if I was to go somewhere where maybe there wasn't as busybody, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to give it a chance.
Okay,
or like a one-on-one, build myself up to that kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got episode 100 around the corner. I'm not surprised, but It's kind of cool. 100.
That's cool. Yeah, that's triple cool. digits, my friend.
Yeah, we're getting... I mean, a lot of podcasts are in the triple digits, but it's kind of cool to think that this little podcast that could, that I just started out for fun 3 years ago now? 3 years ago, yeah.
Has it been?
Yeah, just about 3 years. And we're on the threshold of our 100th episode. This year has been probably our best year for podcasts.
That's on you, though. You take credit for that. Because you've been corresponding and reaching out and planning. Like, you've had some hot stuffs going on lately. People killing main characters, like Gwen Stacy have been on the show. And you got artists on here, too. Artists and drawers and people that make things. Creators.
Have you listened to any of... I know you're a big fan of the episodes you're on, like everybody else.
You can't be telling everybody that.
but have you been listening to any of the interviews and like?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I do. Right. I'm a fan of the show myself, even when I'm not on it.
Is there any particular that you felt were successes? A show that you enjoyed?
I gotta say, I really like the one with Ewan Haas.
Okay, yeah, that was great.
That was, you know what? It sounded like you were having so much fun.
Yeah, we were having a ton of fun.
Guys laughing, even though there was some inside jokes, which I knew about.
Yeah.
That part when you guys said roach pee was a noun, a verb, a synonym, it was like, it was great. I mean, but, you know, I think when you, yeah, it was just fun. It was fun to listen to and just to A lot of your podcasts are a lot of like people and their come up and what they've did and what they went through to get to where they are and the influences that they've had and what they've left now for people. You know what I mean? Like their tread, their track.
Right.
But to kind of have, I don't know if I've had to say it, but like to actually see it happen from the sidelines of like a classmate, someone you went to school with, not just you but myself as well.
Yeah.
And to just hear the success in their voice. Yeah. You know, and the enthusiasm and the drive. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for Dane Hall. I'm so like, shout out to Haz, like, you know what I mean? And like, I'm just envisioning the boys and just seeing how they're just, you know, taking it serious, taking it to heart, really, just
and
to,
making good stuff.
It's good stuff. I could be biased, but his stuff is hot.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And he sent me some more tracks recently that are even like, it's getting better and better. Like, and that's not hyperbole. Listen to episode 94 and 95 of The Cave of Solitude featuring Toronto MC Haz, my friend from back in the day from high school. We came up together, but it was necessary to interview somebody who, yes, you know them, but you know that...
But you know, too, it was also a respectable interview.
Yeah, I like, want to treat
it when I heard you guys talk about music and the weight of it and artists and, like, I'm like, this is like, 15 all over again. Mm. It was so cool to kind of... And that was the other thing, right? Because you and Haz had this thing way back when, yeah, but it was kind of your thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But to kind of now have you guys share your conversation via this outlet,
right,
almost like going back 15 years and actually listening into those conversations that you guys used to have.
Right, right.
Like, it was actually very special to me. Oh, because I never wanted to overstep. I knew that was your thing and that was you guys' passion and your hobby and your art.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that was respectably your thing. And mm-hmm. It just seems... You know, it's a privilege to kind of listen in now on what brought you guys together.
Yeah, it was fun to kind of to go back and go through the hallways, your memoirs hallways, mm-hmm. and you know, capture a little bit of that feeling again and chop it up like that. After I listened to it, and it kind of inspired me to like, I gotta do more episodes like that.
Yeah.
I gotta get them back on. We gotta chop it up on some old debates and bring up topics. And we're gonna do a little bit of it together. I wanted to get you in on the action today.
What?
Yes. I'm gonna put you to the test because I know how much you like being put to the test and being put on the spot.
I get so nervous.
But you usually come through and you make it for a very entertaining show.
Okay, well, whatever it is that you have planned, the other podcast I wanted to say that I listened to that I thoroughly I like all of them, but there was something about these that seemed very fluid, I guess you would say. I really liked the one with you and Shane Heron.
Nah, yeah, that was good.
Yeah. That was so much fun. I'm telling you, all I did, like, I literally, my house was clean, so there was nothing for me to do. My dog was chill. We went out, we had our run. She was good. And I literally just sat in my chair, put in my headphones, and I just went in. And it was...
That's the ultimate compliment. When someone does nothing but just listen to
a conversation. And I was listening to it. And listen, I'm not trying to gas you. But you know, I'm your wife. I'm biased. I understand that. And I'm part of the show. But, like, I literally heard that interview through and through from beginning to end with a smile on my face. Nice. It was just fun to listen to.
Yeah.
And his dog.
His dog is great. Shout out to Riley.
She was a rescue too, right?
Yeah.
You told me?
Yeah, she was a rescue.
He's my hero. That's Shane.
So.
And then, his comic book character that he did.
Oh, Morris.
He named him after his landlord back in the day. I got a little teary-eyed, I gotta say. I was a little emotional.
You got emotional?
I was a little emotional because I'm like, that's such a, you know, endearing thing to do. I thought that was a very...
Such a big softie.
That was a classy move, Shane.
Shout out to Shane Heron. That was a fun episode, and his Kickstarter is going now. So if you haven't checked it out and you're listening to this episode because you saw Lady J in the credits, check out Kickstarter, Shane Heron, comic book Morris. Pledge towards it because it's a great book from a great dude, and I want to see it succeed. It will succeed, but I want to see it go through the roof.
And I like his mustache.
Morris?
It's just the right amount of stash. Like, it's not... It doesn't have the twirl. It's just the right... And the scowl. It's perfect.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like it.
Will you read it?
I really want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Westerns, me and Shane were talking about Tombstone. And
yes,
we watched it together for the first time.
I saw that sucker when I was a tot.
When you were a tot?
Well, maybe a little taller than a tot. But I was a kid. I'm recommended it to you.
You did.
Because I remember watching it.
You did. Are you a fan of Westerns yourself? We don't really own any Westerns.
A fan?
That we watch frequently.
I wouldn't
frequently.
Say I'm a fan. I think I've been fortunate enough to... My parents were.
Right.
Particularly my mother, and I guess my dad too. I guess I was fortunate enough to just be introduced or watch the popular or good ones.
Mm-hmm.
I remember growing up and I watched The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Tombstone. You know what I remember watching?
Back to the Future 3.
that was actually a good plug.
Yeah.
that was excellent. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
Kudos.
Yeah.
You know what I enjoyed?
Tell me.
The Quick and the Dead. What?
I just
What's wrong with The Quick and the Dead?
I just like that you always go back to The Quick and the Dead.
Why not?
No, I
and you
have
know,
no
especially today
judgment.
Where everyone was like, oh, a woman lead and a woman heroine or what? Heroin?
Yeah.
Isn't that a drug?
Heroin is a drug. Heroine.
Heroine.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Just go with it.
Woman hero. Okay?
Heroine.
And she wasn't like... You know what I mean? Like Sharon Stone...
Yeah.
...played this gunslinger.
Okay.
And Ed...
Ed Wood?
No.
No?
Gene Hackman.
Oh.
I don't know why I called him Ed. Gene Hackman was the villain in this. I think Leonardo DiCaprio was in this movie, too. I liked it.
Yeah, I never seen it.
Yeah.
There's
you should watch it.
There's a bunch of Westerns I need to catch up on because I think there's an element to them that I think I hear a lot of people, so many people talk about how just the scenery and the era that it takes place in, there's so much sort of storytelling magic to it, you know, and the music, especially in the spaghetti westerns that are like the Good and Bad and the Ugly trilogy. There's a lot of stuff that my parents just weren't watching. I watched a lot of movies growing up, but you don't realize how many things you miss out on sometimes until you're around, like being around Martin and he's recommending all these different things to me and Shane. And there's so much stuff that it's not that I don't like it.
And my father.
Please. I don't know anybody who's seen more like great movies than him. This is the movie collection of all movie collections. But yeah, I got a lot of westerns to catch up on, so I'm down for recommendations. And thankfully your dad owns most of them. That's a good thing. So speaking of westerns, let's talk about space western in the form of Galaxy Far, Far Away. Just recently, this is a timely subject, the latest trailer for Star Wars, The Last Jedi, came out. It was released, if I'm not mistaken, October 10th. It was a Monday, Thanksgiving Monday in Canada.
6, 7, 8, 9. 10th is a Tuesday, so the 9th.
So it was released on the 9th. Everybody started buying their tickets, pre-purchasing tickets. We watched the trailer together.
Yeah, we did.
You're not a huge fan of trailers.
No.
You'd rather avoid them.
Yes.
But you decided to watch it mainly to talk about it on the show. Am I right in saying that?
You are correct.
Okay. Didn't want to overstep and assume, but having seen the trailer and being a Star Wars fan, that's a safe assumption as well. You are a Star Wars fan.
Fan, I am.
What did you think of the of this next trailer? Of new footage.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I think I want to be. That's why I'm here.
That's why I hope you talk.
I think I want to be. I think I want to be like the opposite.
Of everybody else?
Yes.
Okay. Elaborate.
I'm almost... Okay. How do I say this without sounding ridiculous? That's hard to do. That doesn't happen very often. Okay. So, I'm a Star Wars fan. I like Star Wars.
Okay.
Minus 1, 2, 3.
The prequels.
Yes.
Right.
I'm excited. I'm excited about this movie.
Sure.
However, I feel like there's a part of me that's underwhelmed with the fact that, and although I know this is the main theme of the whole situation, I'm just watching this trailer at the same time and I'm thinking, it's so much drama. It's just family drama. It's like, can't we all just get along?
Or they just need to have a therapist session? Chewie needs to sit him down and they just need
or
to...
Or something. I just feel like there's just so much that's already been told. And we're just... But I guess that's Star Wars, right? We just keep kind of retelling the same story from a different angle. Is that... That's the thing? That's the thing. It's an emotional adventure as opposed to just the... The lights and the action, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I think it is a family story.
Yes, definitely.
It is what it is.
It's based on the Skywalker family, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So,
but what I'm saying is because there's been so many stories or episodes revolving around this particular family or situation, it seems a little redundant. I'm not hating on it, but I'm just like. Like, oh, we're doing that again.
But we've never seen it does, based on trailers, it does feel like, this kind of feels like I've seen this before, but it's the legacy of it that Correct. Is different.
Right. Which is why I'm not like, oh, again. I'm just like, oh, again. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, because when something works, you kind of, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix. You know what I mean? But I can't in good conscience, like, say, well, like, you know, this is new. It's not new. It's not new. It's just working with what works.
Yeah, like, Force Awakens was very clearly a in many ways a remake of
and
New
as,
Hope.
As right? much as I disliked the fact that everybody died in Rogue One.
Spoilers.
Come on now.
Just in case.
I kind of like the fact that it was a different angle. It was a different storytelling.
Do you think it's rewatchable, though? Knowing that there's a certain, like...
Rogue One?
Yeah. Like, it's a great movie. I like it more after...
Subsequent watches?
Yeah. Like, when I watched it in the theater, I liked it. But I wasn't one of those people who were... Oh, it's so much better than this movie.
I liked it.
But after, like, when I watch it again, I connect the pieces a little more. I can follow the story a little better, and I enjoy
it. I think it has rewatch value.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Knowing the ending can sometimes be like, I don't know if I want to watch it.
Oh, but the ending's the best part.
It's definitely emotional.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's good. No, here's my question for you. People are sitting at the edge of their seats for... anything Star Wars, Last Jedi related, right? And as soon as it hits the screen or your iPad screen or whatever, the nets, the debates and the breaking down and all of the conspiracy theories start. Like, do you watch these things with that sort of fanatical interest of like, who's this? What does that mean? Who could that be?
100% unequivocally, hell's no. This is an escape, y'all. What? Like, this is just, let's have fun. Let's use your imaginations. Let's just pause for a while from reality. Right. And I think I've been talking about this for a minute, right? Like, everybody all of a sudden feels like they need to speak on a matter and make it heavy and weighty and, like, let's debate. Like... just have fun with it. Just roll with the punches.
It's okay. I don't mind the I like the debates and I can't come up with the word right now. I don't know why I'm blanking. But like trying to see, oh, who could that be? Could this be that? Is he gonna kill?
No, but see that.
But
you the I developed a stutter. Coming to understand that will happen when you watch the movie.
Like, I completely... That's the point of going to the movies.
Why are we...
I don't want to know
ahead
of time.
Trying to figure it out beforehand.
Yeah.
That's not our job.
No. I think it's one of those things that you do... I like to do, like... Oh, maybe. That could be it. Like, just in passing. But...
Right. I'm not saying we can't talk about it. But don't get heated over it. Like, let it... Like, have an opinion. Say what you want to say. Have an anticipation for something. But let the story tell the story itself.
Yeah.
Don't try to rewrite it without even knowing what's going on.
Yeah, people are trying to decode it.
No.
Even some people I work with, they're like, do you think that was Yoda on top of the rock when she was trying? I'm like,
no, that's annoying to me.
After a while, it's just like,
it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, let's wait and see.
It's not fun anymore.
I want to be surprised. I don't want to know anything. And I think that's what I think is the beauty of the Star Wars trailers thus far, is that they don't tell you any of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, Force Awakens, it gave you the enough to get you excited.
It really did. That was an intelligent trailer.
But it doesn't give
Especially
away any story.
Especially for someone like myself who wants to just see it once, because I don't want spoils.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself, that was the one trailer I'm like, wait, what? What? Let me see that again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that person's in it? Wait, let me rewatch that again. And I don't do that.
Yeah.
And it gave you just enough to make you want to... I mean, and that's what the trailer's supposed to do.
Well, it made you stand up in the theater and applause.
Well, it really did.
Remember that? That was good. That was good.
Yeah, I did do that.
Yeah, you did.
And then the whole theater went at it, too.
Yeah.
Good times.
So are you going to want to watch The Last Jedi on the day of release?
Okay, I really want to.
Mm-hmm.
It really does depend, though, on how many people will be there. And the time of day. I suspect I'll be able to go Friday afternoon-ish.
You're not a Thursday night type of person?
No, I'm not going. I'm sorry. Can't do it. I'm not fighting a crowd.
Okay.
I don't have a cape to wear. I don't have a saber-tooth.
A lightsaber.
I feel like I would be unworthy. Let me put it that way. I would be unworthy to be in that type of company. I'm gonna just go after work, mid-afternoon, when it's not the hustle and bustle, and I'm just gonna
take it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I'm old. I'm getting to that point where I just can't be bothered with people and the shenanigans. Let me just see it in peace and quiet.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Do you think that we will see Harrison Ford again in these movies in some capacity?
I think so.
Yeah. Flashback. Do you think he'll be brought back?
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
But I feel like...
You feel like talking in an English accent?
What gave that away? I feel like he has such a mark in the Star Wars...
franchise?
The whole thing. Like, how can he not? Mm-hmm. Although I wouldn't be mad at him if he decided to bow out. Respect it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? You did your deed. You gave yourself to this franchise, to the fans for 30 plus years. You do you, boo-boo. It's cool. If you want to bow out, I got you. I got it.
You'd be fine with it.
You've done enough. Right. You've paid your dues.
Right.
But if he does, all right.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because I don't think it's such a shock or a surprise anymore that people do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many reoccurring... reoccurrences of characters. Like, it happens so often that it's not exactly a treat anymore. It's more like oh there he is, that's cool, but not like, oh, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's because it's happened so often.
I like that reaction. Oh. What are your predictions in regards to what you think it will do box office? Do you think it will top
Force Awakens?
You think it'll top Force Awakens?
How much did Force Awakens
do? I don't remember. But, I mean, it was pretty huge, right? For people having anticipated Star Wars to come back in a way that was familiar to them.
Well, I don't know how much it's going to make or how much Force Awakens made, but there is that anticipation, 100%. And I don't think it
will top it. It might top it.
Yeah, man, because, hey, man, the movie title's in red. That alone is making people speculate, and they need to find out what's going on.
That's the word. Speculate. Not so much conspiracy theory. The speculation.
Yeah.
Let the speculations begin. That was the word I was thinking of before. It's late, so my brain isn't as sharp.
That this movie, I think, is going to be a hot topic.
Oh, for sure.
And that in itself.
Oh,
people
yeah.
are going to be...
100%.
Yeah.
And as it should be. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's fantastic. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move along.
Mm-hmm.
So, since we spoke last, you've been taking in a lot of media, as you usually do.
I've been in it.
Yeah, you've read a couple comic books. You actually read...
letters that were put together that formulated words.
Comic books. But yeah. They're still books. I still count them. Did you enjoy what you read? Because you actually, it's been a while since you delved into the DC universe, as is, like the Rebirth. You haven't read any Rebirth stuff.
No, it's been a minute.
And how did you find it after? Because you're kind of like, you like your stories. You don't care too much of the timeline of when it takes place. Am I right? You prefer just a good story.
I don't know if... Yes, you're right. But I think the reason I don't care for the timeline is because I find it hard to follow.
Yeah.
It's like, when is this happening?
Right.
And when did this happen?
Right.
Why don't they know each other the way I know they should know each other? Like, it was a little bit like, huh?
Right.
So that kind of loses its appeal for me a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So, with what you read, what did you read?
I read Trinity.
Not the one that we reviewed before.
Not the one that was an excellent book.
Okay, this one was the Francis Manapul Trinity Rebirth team up.
Correct.
And the other one?
And then I read The Sons of... The Sons.
The Super Sons?
The Super Sons.
Okay. It was the volume 2 of the Superman trades, graphic novels, right?
Whatever it is that you left on the table for me.
Let me check the title. It was
the one where Robin's like this.
Son of Superman.
It was like when Robin was like this.
It was like an album
and then
cover.
And then Damian was like this.
Yeah.
And then, like, Superman was like this. And then Batman was like this.
I wish people could see your face right now. It looks like the cover of a Wu-Tang album.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And how did you... You read that one after you read The Trinity. You didn't like The Trinity.
No.
No, okay. Long and short of it, you weren't a huge... Did you like the artwork in it?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Because he's, one, he's a great artist, and two, he's a cool, really cool guy. And he's from Toronto. But
So I answered correctly.
Yeah, yes, you did.
But I did answer heartfully.
Yeah, and he also wrote it.
I really did like it.
Yes, but you found the story to be a little bit, something left to be desired.
Let me say what I think I want to say.
Okay.
From my understanding, this Superman.
Yes.
And this Batman.
Yes.
And this Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Are not the Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman that I know. This Batman and Superwoman and Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Know each other.
Yeah.
But they don't really know this Superman. Because this Superman.
Yes.
Is from somewhere else.
Yes.
And so there isn't that rapport that I'm familiar and love.
Yeah, yes. The fact that you wrapped your head around it, it's like I'm falling in love with you. You don't have to know all the stupid comic book terms, but it's like, yeah, you get it. That's what's going on.
So I'm just like, I need to hear them say Bruce. I need him to say Clark. None of this trying to get to know each other hoopla.
You're past that.
I miss that. Okay. I'm not saying that it's not a good thing. I'm not saying I'm not for change. I'm just saying I know what I know and I know what I like.
Gotcha.
And I like when they know each other. Like when I see them, there's no one that knows them better but them.
Right.
Right? And I felt like this whole like, well, he's not our Superman. And I'm like, what? I'm reading it. I'm like, heh? And I'm just like, what are we talking about here? And it just... It was unfamiliar.
Right. Right.
And if there's ever been a relationship between people, like, these are the ones that know each other, yeah, like the back of their own hand. And
it's like your comfort food.
The attachment was not there.
Right.
Between them and then nor was the attachment from me to them either.
Got it. So it took you out of it. You felt
really
like you were trying to catch up.
It really did. And especially when it was all like very emotional, like, oh, our Superman, and he was our friend, and you know, don't worry, I'm not in love with him. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, it was so emotion-based, and I didn't feel anything of it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And it would do that to you if you didn't understand what had happened with the characters in timeline and multiverse type of the effects that has had on it. So, I mean, I read it from I understand what you're expressing. It makes sense to feel how you feel, but I read it, I guess, with a little bit more preparation and knowledge. Like, I've read books preceding it to kind
of
know
of
what,
course you did.
Right?
Yes.
So it changes the perspective, but you're right. If you pick up that book because you like the team, you like the artist and the concept
of
it.
Yeah, like if I was a...
It takes you out of it.
Exactly. Like if I was... if I didn't have you to lay out the groundwork for me, and let's say I read Trinity, let's say. I love the big three.
Right.
And I read the Trinity that I read back
from
then.
From before, yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, Trinity again. And I would have picked it up. It would have been like, what?
Yeah.
It would have taken me right out of
right.
it. Right. Like a non-comic book,
So just a general fan.
Yeah. I wouldn't have... I didn't.
Got it.
I don't think I... No offense to Mr. Manipole. Okay? But I just don't think that I appreciated it the way he intended it to be.
Yeah.
Appreciated. And that's on me.
That's on you, but I think it's also on the publishers changing the status quo more frequently that it could either be good because a new person can read it for the first time, not having to know anything, or it could be detrimental for people who are coming back into it, not recognizing or being able to catch up with what happened. Right. So it's not necessarily anyone's fault other than the publishers constantly rebooting things.
Yeah.
In a way. And yeah. Okay, so that's confusing. I agree with your experience with it. But then you read the Son of Superman trade, and I recommended it because you got to see, you know, Batman and Damian with, you know, face off against Superman and his son, Jonathan.
That was interesting.
Okay.
I couldn't be bothered with the Superman and his son storyline.
Of course not.
Well, okay, yeah, Batman wasn't in it. But I couldn't. It was too Boy Scout for me.
Okay. So you're on one of those people who just feel like if Superman doesn't have Batman to offset his personality, he's just too lame for you.
I wouldn't say lame. I think that's a little harsh. I think it's just too safe.
Right.
I need someone to bring out emotion. Not everything is hunky-dory. Not everything is, you know, the yellow sun and let's fly away and go to Dinosaur Island and, you know, do things that no one else can do. I can't relate to that. What I can relate to is human emotion. What I can relate to, and I appreciated that aspect, like, okay, this is my son, and he's still working up his powers, and he still has to protect, like, that father-son thing. Hmm. But then as a woman, as a girl, this is two men I'm reading about.
Okay.
Right? And this is a father-son relationship. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's a father-son relationship. I don't have anything to do with this.
So it went over your head.
It was a little unrelatable.
Okay.
Just a little unrelatable.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, no, I it's interesting to get your take on it because a lot of people are
the only thing, let me tell you something. You wanna know what? The only thing that kept me captivated in that storyline was Crypto. Because I'm like, okay, I have an animal. No, I'm serious. And you wanna know my opinion, that's my opinion. No, that was the time where I got nervous.
I believe you.
Where the pterodactyl, which all of a sudden people, did you know it was spelled with a P? All this time, I'm reading it on the train. I'm like, what kind of dinosaur is this? Pterodactyl? Like, I'm trying to pronounce. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this supposed to be pterodactyl? I was dumbfounded. And I watched that, my friends, on WhatsApp. And I said, guys, mind blown. Did anybody know this? Because I didn't. Lo and behold, everybody knew that pterodactyl was spelled with a P.
Mind blown. So, at least, the one thing you could take away from these stories is you learned how to spell pterodactyl properly. See what happens when you read? I always told you, when you read, you'll learn something. There you go.
Yeah.
We're going to name this episode, Daff J Learns How to Spell Pterodactyl.
With a B, folks, with a B.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, my only attachment to that storyline, per se, was with Crypto. Because, first of all, I'm sensitive to animals, whether they're drawn or, you know, it's stuffy or, you know, a real thing. I get emotional. Like, that's when I was getting nervous. But when it came to just them, it was kind of like... So he made a thingamabob, and all of a sudden you disappeared, and now you don't know how to get back, and then you find this soldier who doesn't want to go back anyway, and then you just so... It was just kind of like... It was far-fetched for me. It was a little too far-fetched.
Yeah, but it's meant to be... You take these two characters that are super powerful, and you got to put them in a scenario where they're trying to figure it out.
Even out their playing field.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it wasn't enjoyable. I read it.
Right?
It just wasn't my cup of tea.
Fair enough. I appreciate hearing your take on it because I'm enjoying the New 52 because for me it's a return to a lot of things that I like that Superman particularly. But it's also interesting to hear your take. I mean, one, you are a very biased comic book reader because you love Batman.
Correct.
But having said that, the point you made about not being able to relate to the Superman and son, or
now people's argument. I'm sorry, keep going.
But it's just interesting to hear what it is that will bring people into a book and what makes them work and what is making people feel disconnected from the stuff. Whether it's the Trinity not knowing each other, whether it's you know, Superman being too much of a Boy Scout. Like, just getting that opinion because you're not jaded by everybody else's opinion of these characters or what you're told. Like, oh, look, this is good now. You should like it.
I'm not jaded, or I just don't know better?
No, I think you're not jaded because you're not persuaded by comic shop talk, or you're not persuaded by stuff on the internet. You read it, you take it for what it is, and you can give an honest opinion of, like, I like it. Even if you're told, like, hey, this is the best thing in the world, you have an opinion that's like, no, nah, I don't like it. But that's cool. I like that. It's refreshing to hear you even something like Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman that you do like. Like, that's one of your favorite things to watch or to read. For you to be like, meh, it didn't hit the mark for me. It's an honest opinion. Like, something you can kind of trust because the person likes that.
Right.
But maybe if you did have... I'm just wondering how much of these things are going to have a shelf life. Because you got to be able to attract new people to it.
Right.
Where if getting into it requires too much, oh, I got to read all, I have to know this, it's not going to work anymore after a while. Whereas something like the Matt Wagner book, Trinity, you can read that, give it to anybody, and you're set to go.
Yeah.
You don't have to have all the baggage of comic book continuity, right? Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, do you think it's better to just have these one-off stories of, here's this artist, here's this writer, they're going to tell you a story of Batman when he was with Dick Grayson. That's it. That's all you need to know. That era of Batman. Would you prefer to just read that, or do you like reading something and remembering, like, oh yeah, when I read Under the Hood, this is what happened, so that's why this matters now. Like, what do you prefer?
I think I like a little bit of both.
Okay.
Within reason. I like continuity, but I just don't like when I have to, like, connect the dots. I don't want to do the homework. I don't want to look for this from this point, go to this book, and that takes it from there. Or am I answering your question?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want to do the legwork. I want to escape. I want to just, my mind just go.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think there's a
balance. Want there to be rules of character history, but you don't want to be tied down to it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, another perfect segue. Batman the Animated Series.
Yes.
Right?
Best show.
Okay.
Hands down.
Right. And it doesn't have it's not tied down to, you don't know what year it is.
Yeah.
When you watch it.
Right.
It has a certain timeless feel to it. And there's a continuity to it, but you watch the show and you could pick up any episode and be right into it.
This is correct.
Right. So you want something more like that.
There's the occasional part one, part two.
Right, right. Yeah. And you know, there's a reference of that time we fought Joker, or and you see Dick Grayson get a little older, or and Robin's change or whatever, but there isn't that, you're not, you can jump in at any point and enjoy the show.
Right.
So recently we watched the Batman and Harley Quinn animated movie that was very much a throwback to Batman the Animated Series. Yes. Bruce Timm animation, Kevin Conroy. It was a different... Do you know who played the Harley Quinn? I'd probably never shared it. Melissa Rauch. Rauch? Is that how you say her name? She is Bernadette from Big Bang Theory.
No way!
Yes. She played Harley Quinn.
And yet, her voice was not high-pitched enough for me.
Yeah.
Funny. It threw me a little bit.
Threw you off.
Especially when they kind of drew her... They drew her the same.
Yeah.
But I heard something different. It actually warped my head a little bit. It really did.
Did you overall like the feature?
It took some getting used to.
Really? What was it that took you out of it?
Are we talking about Harley specifically?
No, the movie.
Oh, okay. I think some segments went on a little too long than they needed to.
Okay. The bar scene?
The bar scene.
With the singing?
Yeah.
the Harley song got stuck in your head.
It really did, though.
Yeah.
That it really did. The fact that she was, like, flatulating in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that happened a little too long, I think.
Yeah. Did you like that? It was a little edgy.
She, like, had some encounter with Nightwing. In the dark.
You didn't want to say his actual name because it would be too much of an innuendo.
I mean, I don't know.
What do you think? Batman and Catwoman? Nightwing and Harley Quinn?
Nah.
What's up with those guys? Messing around with the villains.
It's not far-fetched. I can see why they think that there's something that can happen there, because they're the people they're encountering the most.
Right.
I mean, and it's not like exactly cordial encounters. Like, it's not exactly the most polite way. Most of the time, they have their crotches in their face. You know what I mean? Legs are going here.
A lot of sexual tension.
And, you know, wrist grabbing and throwing and thrusting. Yeah. Like, that. I can't imagine how things can't start up. I mean, it's no wonder that he proposed to Selena.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And, like, you're not even reading the books. And you look at you doing your homework.
I'm just saying. Like, I'm not... Like, that's a lot of... Stirring it up. That's a lot of Bob Marley going on there, you know what I mean? So I'm not surprised. So it's not far-fetched. I appreciate that. But at the same time, it was kind of like... You know what it's... Okay, how do I say it? I guess because I grew up watching them, like, as a kid, it was almost as though my childhood was being perverted.
Mm.
A little bit. Mm. It's like... Like, they were always...
And it looks like the show you watched as a kid.
Exactly.
And now it's
yeah, like I mean, there was a little cussing here and there, which, you know what? I was like, yeah, I can appreciate that. So that's realistic. Yeah. You know, someone goes flying
Daft
through.
Daft J can appreciate cussing. I don't know how.
No. Well, if someone goes flying out the window, you're going to react. Okay. I'm not going to hate on you. Like, okay. All right, I'm like, you know, I get it. You know? Yeah. I get a paper cut and I, you know, say a couple of things.
Yeah.
But... It was almost, like I said, something that was very familiar when I was watching it at a very innocent age, that all of a sudden things that didn't happen were happening. And it was unfamiliar and risque.
Yes, very risque.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Timm, if I'm not mistaken, has a few art books that are his art style, but very risque.
Mm.
So he's... I think it's safe to say dabbled in that genre of stuff. Did you like the premise, the story? How did you find the whole experience of it? I mean, you don't got to break down the entire movie. We don't want to spoil it. I like that there is a return to some sort of animation that I was entertained with from beginning to end. I've been DC animation has been amazing.
Yes.
But the last couple of features, I've been a little bit underwhelmed or not quite as excited for. And this one, I was actually excited. I enjoyed the voice casting for it, the look of it, the pacing of it. But I will say that I found it to go from being serious...
To very childish?
To being very silly.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How did you find that?
Yeah. I agree.
There was a part, spoilers, heavy spoilers. There's a part where you see the Swamp Thing in this animation feature, which is really cool, especially for DC fanboys and fangirls to see the Swamp Thing. I don't know if he's shown up yet in any of the animated movies. But then it just kind of... It kind of ends like a Looney Tunes.
Yes, with the Harley getting kissed by both Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
and that was like,
it was cute, but it was.
And you know what?
Like...
Kind of going to your, I think, agreeing with your point. There was a lot of for my liking. I think Batman smiled too many times in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, it happened too many times.
God forbid Daft J gets a happy Batman. Oh my goodness. You just want him to be miserable.
No, I don't want him to be miserable.
You do.
I don't. don't.
But you don't
say
want
that.
Him to marry Selena. No. God forbid he's happy.
I don't want him to marry Selena.
You want him to be alone.
Want him to be alone, but I don't want him to be tied down. I think there's a difference.
You just want him to hang out with Alfred. That's what you want.
This is a separate issue. It's a separate topic. We'll talk about that next time. But there was a lot of things that were happening that were very unfamiliar in this world. And I was kind of like, just, I wasn't a fan.
So overall, you weren't big on it. What would you, I guess, rate it? Would you recommend it if someone said, hey, is this good?
Not really.
No, you wouldn't recommend it? So no replay value for you? I think it's something we could revisit.
You know what I liked? You know what I did like about it? I liked some of the throwbacks. There was a lot of throwbacks. Like Catwoman's henchman from the 66 Batman.
Yeah.
That was cool. Like, that's what I'm... like. But going back to your point where all of a sudden it was very one way and then extremely went to the other way.
Okay.
And it was just like, where's the consistency here?
I got you. Yeah, you're telling me
that, you know, Dick Grayson and Harley Quinn had perhaps a sexual encounter, and then she's farting 10 minutes in the car in front of him. Like, it was just so extreme sometimes. I was kind of
The tone of it was extreme.
I was a little underwhelmed.
Okay.
However, I found I feel like I always knew this, but my appreciation for Poison Ivy as a villain... I feel she's like an underrated villain. She needs to do more.
But she was in the Trinity book, and you were...
She was in the Trinity book.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the storyline. I didn't like that there was a robot kid or something that was calling her mother. I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what's happening. Then, what was his name? Not Doomsday. Not Darkseid. It was...
Mongol.
Mongol was in it. See, I'm so confused. I don't even know who was in the book. It was just a little too much all over the place. But I think she's an excellent villain. I just don't think she's...
They don't utilize her enough?
I liked how she was used in... Long Halloween, was it? Or Hush?
I don't remember.
I think it was Hush.
Oh, yes. Hush, where she poisoned Superman.
Yes. And he has, like, the red eyes, the glowing red eyes, because he's, like, you know, under her spell.
Yeah.
Like, that's serious. Like, when you can take the Man of Steel down like that and have him under your full control, that's some serious weaponry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, I feel like she was in this movie, but not to her fullest form.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was a kid. It's a cartoon. I mean, sometimes you can't.
But it's not really for kids.
No. But at the same time, like, it's just a moment of entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can't.
I enjoyed it. I was a little bit underwhelmed with the ending, but I it was fun. I was impressed with some of the things they did in it. It was good. But it seems like I got to make it up to you because the last couple of things I've recommended have underwhelmed you. So I got to figure out something you to read that you will like.
That's okay.
We got to catch you up on Paper Girls. There's a third volume.
I saw a baby on the cover.
There was a baby on the cover. And that took you out of it.
I don't know what's happening.
Anytime the characters have kids, you're just like, I want nothing to do with it.
It throws me off. It doesn't do it for me, man. I don't know. And I'm the chick in this relationship. Like, I should have, like, some maternal something.
Yeah, something.
I don't got it.
Unless there's puppies.
Okay.
If there's puppies, then we can, Or brave little toasters.
All right, don't get me started.
All right, let's move along. Let's get gangster with it. So, lately we've been...
watching movies. I'm on a 90s kick.
Oh,
I've been busy.
Are we going into the 90s?
I've been watching The Expendables. Let me tell you something, folks. It's probably not the best thing to... I wouldn't recommend it. It's not... But I would, though. If you're like a... back in the day, those are your heroes. Like, let me tell you something. When all of a sudden you're just watching and then you just have like a cameo of like, you know, Schwarzenegger pops up. You're like, oh my God, like that's the guy, right? Like he's like...
Yeah.
And then it's like all of a sudden, like freaking Chuck Norris shows up, man. Chuck Norris! Like, are you kidding teammate. And then, like, seeing, like, a couple months go by, minutes go by, and you're just, like, you're enthralled, you're back into the story, you understand what's going on. And then Bruce Willis shows up, and it's like, oh my god, like, all the, like, Mel Gibson and Jet Li.
How many head slaps did you do while you watched
it? I can't tell you how many. And I was by myself watching, because you wouldn't dare watch these with me. I'm like, you gotta watch these. Like, these are, like, my heroes. These are the action heroes that I grew up watching. But to see them all on the screen... Look, there may not have been the best storylines. Okay, on Rotten Tomatoes, it got, like, 42%. But it was just... It was just cool. It was reminiscent to just be a kid again. You know what I mean?
Nostalgic.
Yeah.
You're right in it.
I don't know how long I haven't been on this thing, but, like, I watched long Cliffhanger. Time. I watched, like... The Negotiator. I'm on this kick, and I love it. I love going back there, and I like watching movies with a story. Like, nowadays everything is like sci-fi and flashy and colorful and CGI. Like, everything's fake now. You know what I mean? Not that it wasn't fake back then, but, like, you know, like, there was actuals. Like, I'm literally at the edge of my seat, and now it's more like just the movie industry trying to wow you as opposed to tell you a story, I feel. And even though maybe the story and the acting wasn't the best back then, but, like, Send a Maniac to Catch a Maniac? Come on! Come on!
Speaking of 90s movies, you were challenged to watch a 90s movie, made for TV 90s movie.
You're giving me chills.
Daft J watched the first half of the 1990s version of It. And Tim Curry as Pennywise. How did you find it? What do you have to say about Pennywise back in 1990?
Let me tell you something.
Tell me.
The brave little toaster has nothing on me.
So you're comparing your bravery... to that of a toaster.
That is what I'm saying.
You're braver than the little toaster.
Mm-hmm.
Was the little toaster scared of clowns?
That's not the point. The point is, I managed to stay in the same room as Pennywise.
Did you ever look at him once when he showed up on the screen, or did you hide?
Okay, I got it. Okay. I may have only been able to see the red of his hair because I was hiding behind a pillow. So I may not have seen the entire thing. However.
You heard his voice.
I did. And I saw balloons. Oh my gosh! I'm imagining it right now. Ah! He's waving at me. I gotta open up my eyes. Okay.
Do you have a fear of red balloons as much as you do because it insinuates?
No, excellent question. I don't. I do, though, however, have a fear now of yellow rain hats. Every time I see that thing, I'll be scrolling on my Instagram, on my Hazel's. Uh-huh. On my Hazel's Eye account. Uh-huh. Plug, by the way. Uh-huh. Just scrolling. And all of a sudden, you know what people are doing these days?
They're doing pranks.
They're doing things where they... So I follow a lot of animal accounts.
They dress up the dogs.
Yes!
As Georgie?
They dress up the dog with the hat and the jacket in the rain, in a puddle, and right next to it a red balloon. Like, this is supposed to be a good thing for me to stumble upon.
You know what's going to really freak you out is that...
No, I don't want to know.
Okay. Well, this is the season for people to dress up.
I think that, no! That's going to be
a more popular...
No.
A more popular option. You know what?
No, people can't do that. People can't do that.
People definitely will.
Why would they do that?
There's money to be made on selling it, which
is frightening. It's a legitimate... People can die. Like, of... legitimate fear.
What would you do walking if you walked into your living quarters and you saw kids, people as Pennywise?
No, I was working on the street one day, and not like a lady of the night, okay? just take it easy, everyone. My boss was doing this office promotion thing where we were doing some kind of like, here in Toronto we have this like Taste of the Danforth. So all of the restaurants do this thing where they like cook on the street and then they close down the streets and it's a big parade and people are walking everywhere. So we did that closer to they. We did that exact thing at my place of employment. Mm-hmm. Where they shut down the streets and they did like beaver tails and they did like bouncy castles and all this other stuff. I'm there getting my paycheck, doing my thing. Lo and behold, and nobody knew this, there was a freaking clown.
Freaking clown.
Making its way right to our office. I can't tell you how quick, like how fast I jetted it. I screamed and I jetted right. I ran to the bathroom and I didn't come out. Nobody could find me. Ugh. Nobody could find me. And they're like, what was that about? Because this is not exactly something that you do. Like, hi, my name is Daphne. I'm afraid of clowns. Like, that doesn't happen. Right? That's like, that doesn't, you know, so I've been working with these people for like 7-8 years and all of a sudden I jet.
Okay. Should the episode be called Daph J Learns How to Spell Pterodactyl or Hi, my name is Daphne, I'm afraid of clowns?
Anyway, long story short, someone finally found me. And I legitimately said, I don't care. I'm going home. I'm leaving. And they're like, what are you talking about? So the truth came out. And until said psychopath decided to remove himself from the premises, I just hang back. And I don't and to my point, what I'm trying to say is I think there's enough people that have this fear, and I don't think people walking around like this individual will be healthy to the community.
What's scarier? Tim Curry's Pennywise or the new Pennywise?
I remember seeing the trailer behind you.
Yeah.
But again, it was that kind of like looking through one eye but partially closed. So I really legitimately will tell you, I don't know what this thing looks like and I don't know if I want to know. But I really want to know.
Okay.
But I don't know. But okay. I really don't know. Okay, I really don't
know. Okay. Okay. You've been challenged to watch the new It, and you counteracted it by saying, I will watch the old It. Like, you watched the original thing that made you frightened of clowns. So, for the...
No, it wasn't the thing that made me frightened of clowns. I already had... I had a thing about the clowns, but this was like the nail in the coffin.
It reinforced it.
All right.
Would you, for the sake of the show, be willing to take a look at what the new Pennywise looks like, a picture on Google Images, and just to get your real natural reaction of what this, because I think it's too stylized to be scary. I think the Tim Curry one is scarier because he's dressed more of like that childlike clown. Do you know what I mean? Whereas this guy looks like he's trying to be scary. So it's like, ah, you're trying to be scary. Would you be up for the challenge of seeing the Pennywise on air as we record for the sake of the show? You don't have to do it. I'm just thinking about it. I think everyone that hasn't listened to this yet at this point, they're all like, do it, do it, do it. Are you up for it?
Are you challenging me?
I'm not going to do anything that you do not feel comfortable with, because that wouldn't be fair.
Okay, I'm sorry. I haven't answered you yet, and yet the tablet is out. Are you are you going to give me a chance to respond, or are you making the thing for me?
But I don't want... If you say yes, it'll be ready to go. If you say no, I'll just close it.
Okay. Is it... Okay. Can I think of something about it?
Take your time.
Take your glasses off! I can see the reflection on your face! I think I should say no. I think I'm going to say no.
I challenge you.
What?
No. I got one ready.
Okay. No. I don't want to.
No? You're done? Okay. Just, I think the fact that you were scared of the reflection from my glasses is a good enough reaction.
Are you scared?
Am I scared? No. I think it's too stylized. Like, it tries too hard to be scared. To be scary. Whereas the Tim Curry one I found to be more, like, ooh, yeah.
Creepy?
Yeah, I
this
think
one
so.
Is, like, just...
This one is...
Can you take off your glasses, please?
Are you ready? You think you can do it? Or no?
You think I can do it?
I think you could do anything, to be quite honest, but if...
Never mind. I'm gonna do it.
You're gonna do it? How hard did you hit yourself? That sounded like it hurt.
Oh, I almost caught a boob, okay?
Okay, you ready?
No! No, I don't want to do it. I'm getting hot. I'm getting sweaty.
Slam, I hope this is entertaining for you.
is this what it is to you people? Is this for you to make poke fun? I'm gonna do it. I'm a soldier.
You ready?
I'm a soldier.
You're gonna do it?
Okay, slowly.
Okay.
Slowly.
Here we go.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't want to.
Is it still there? You have it up? Do you have it up?
It's still there.
Is it looking at me?
It's not looking at you. Oh, boy.
Are you done?
You never even saw it. Are you okay? You gonna make it?
I need some water. My mouth is so dry. My mouth is so dry.
Are you gonna try? Are you gonna be tough? You gonna... You ready?
I don't know if I can.
Okay. No problem.
Can you get rid of it?
It's gone.
It's gone for real?
It's gone.
Like, if I open up your tablet, it won't be sitting there?
It won't be sitting there.
It's you closed, gone. Did you clear the history?
Gone. The fear is for real. Okay. Let's move on to Daff J things.
My armpits are a little bit moist.
Oh, this is so great.
This is terrible.
You didn't even see it. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I want to end the last portion of our show. There's no wine in there anymore. There was nothing. You went for a swig. There was nothing. We're going to end the show.
I feel like I need a shot of something.
We'll get you something before bed.
Okay.
So I didn't challenge you, but I said for our next episode to keep in line with the hip hop theme that we established with episode 94, 95, even with Shane. We ended it off with Shane giving us some hip hop talk.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get your hip hop talk. So how about if I ask you off the top of your head, make a mixtape of your favorite hip-hop songs that you would put on, let's say, a half hour, 45 minute mixtape. You can come up with some.
So like five songs on side A and like five songs on side B.
Yeah, like what would be your ultimate song? They don't have to be like what would be a great mix into each other, but what are the songs for you that define your...
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your songs. It could be any of them. I don't care what they are.
Okay.
Can you come up with some? Think so?
Yes.
Is it too much on the spot?
It's very much on the spot.
All right.
But I think I could do it.
You think you could do it?
Yeah.
All right. What do you got? This is a mixtape Memorex. We got a Memorex tape. We're going to put it in the tape deck. We're going to put a couple CDs, or we're going to be listening to the radio. We got to press record. What song comes on the radio and Daff J says, record that right now. That's got to be on. What's the first track?
But no one, in no particular order.
No particular order. Your tunes.
I got to say, one of them would be A Tribe Called Quest we got the jazz.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice.
Yes.
Okay.
That joint right there, It just does it. It's just this.
Puts you there.
It's just smooth. It does it. It puts you in. It just soothes me.
Right.
It soothes me.
That's okay.
That's my jam.
That's your jam.
Mm-hmm.
Side A, track one. We got the jazz. We got the jazz. We got. Okay. All right. What else we got?
For sure, the song you played on the intro.
Mobb Deep.
Hands down.
Shook Ones, part two.
Hands down.
So you go from nice and smooth.
Okay, but not in any particular order. Not in a particular order, but
I like it. I know, I like it. I like the range.
I think if I was to do it, like, that would be first, and then I need something to bring me back down.
Get a little hard.
That would, you know, we got the jazz to bring me back down. Like...
Yeah, I like it. I like the range. I do.
Why not?
Yeah, both from Queens. One you wake up to, you brush your teeth. The other one, you go and fight at night. You need that.
Okay. Off of the Illmatic LP.
Okay, now you're talking. Right. So far, it's all classic albums. You've got songs from.
I'm gonna say Memory Lane.
Memory Lane.
That's a beautiful track. I love it. It makes me wanna sit on the stoop and just take it in. And I literally, when I hear that song, I'm not lying. Uh-huh. And when I hear that song, I feel like rays of sun. Like I just feel the warmth on my. Like I feel like just cruising and you're just taking it in.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's just one of those, like, you just ride with it.
Mm. What's of those songs, do you have a standout lyric that just, that moment in those songs? So, like, We Got the Jazz.
His just starting it out. It's like, stern from young with the laid back tongue, the aim is to succeed and achieve at 21. Just like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just smooth. It's not even smooth, it's smooth.
Smooth.
Yeah.
And then you got the Shook Ones.
Oh my god. But like, I'm angry. I'm just on the corner. Like,
you're in Queens right now. You're not leaving Queens. I like that.
It's just that song, it makes you feel just human emotion and no apologies for it.
You just see red.
You just see red and it is what it is.
Right.
And get out of my way if you don't want to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes we have those moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unapologetic rage.
Yeah. Just, like, watch out. If you ever hear that song around Daft J, she might shank you. Might.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. And then another one that I like listening to when the sun is out, sunroof is open.
Okay.
Juicy.
Oh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's a good mixtape so far, Daft J. I like side A.
Like, you can't go wrong.
It was all a dream.
That's a feel-good joint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're just happy to be alive.
As soon as you hear that at the beginning.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're happy to be.
Yeah. This goes out. Yeah, yeah. Nice. What's your favorite line from that song? From Juicy? Is there one that stands out? Is it just the way he starts? I think nobody starts a verse as good as
Biggie. You've said that, and I can't disagree. I don't think anyone can.
But is there one rhyme from there that stands out for you? Close and personal with Robin Leach. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
When I was that man, I couldn't picture this.
Go Dab.
You know, there's just, in that one song, I think there's too many.
Yeah, yeah.
There's too many to point out.
Yeah, you're right.
That's why it's on here. Because it's from beginning to end, it's immaculate.
It's juicy.
It's juicy.
Shmoo. Okay, one more for side A. See how you end this sucker. I actually think that would be the song to start the tape.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. To get it going. To get the juices flowing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I would end it with a little Mobb Deep.
It's a great pickup.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yes.
But Mobb Deep, like that Shook Ones, is one of my favorite.
You go back to that.
I feel like that's what Batman listens to when he's about to go. When he goes into Arkham Asylum, that's the joint he's playing in the Batmobile. Like, he's going in hard.
He just stuck off the realness.
He goes off. Because there he went. Like, that's the joint he went in with. You know what I mean?
You're fantastic. Okay.
I don't know what order to put these. They would have to be in a particular order.
I put them in an order for you.
At the end, you're gonna do that for me?
I'll put them in an order for you. Okay. But let's go with side A. Finish side A off for me. What do you got?
You know what song I think is really cool?
Tell me.
I love this song. I think it's so cool. I think it's intelligent. I think it was educational.
Okay. Oh.
I think it was original.
Okay.
I think it was ampy.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Crisscross. We'll make you jump.
No. No. That was a hit though. That was one of my faves when I was growing up. I gotta admit, I did wear my clothes backwards a couple of times. Just a handful of times, not all the time. Because then my mother would be like, "What you doing?"
Yeah.
Ebonics.
Big L. Deep cuts. Nice.
Wasn't that a cool song, though?
Yeah.
Didn't it make you feel... And then it's like, what? When it went... Now? Huh? No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you learned to talk hood. Like, you knew... And then, like, listening to other hip-hop, like, songs, you're like... That's what they're referring. You know what I mean? Like it led the path to understanding.
Yeah.
Other
Ebonics.
Other songs.
Yeah.
Like it was educate. I think it was educational.
You don't have to justify it to me with you. I think it was educational. So side A, this is how I would okay. lay out the playlist. Okay. I start off with Biggie, with Juicy, and then I go to Memory Lane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, slow it down a little bit in the middle with We Got the Jazz, mm-hmm. nice and smooth.
Okay, I like it.
And then I pick it up with Ebonics,
mm-hmm.
and then I end it with Shook Ones.
I like it.
That's how that first side would end.
I like it.
What do we got on side B?
Okay. I think I really like the song from, and I'll tell you why I like it so much.
Because
when I started listening to this album hardcore, I wouldn't say it was gardening, but I was in my backyard a lot. Okay, and that summer was a sunny summer. Why are you laughing?
Your facial expression of. You got this huge smile on your face. Why is this hardcore? I can't. Go ahead.
AZ, Wanna Be There.
AZ.
I really like that joint. Cuts. I love that joint. I was outside. I was playing it on my little boombox. And I blasted it. And I'm just outside in my patio, in the backyard. And I'm just... And you know what? I was reading back then.
Oh, yeah?
I was reading back then. Can't tell you what. But I remember that song was... I was jamming to that song. And I just put it on repeat. Yeah. Hoo-hoo-hoo! It had this going on. You know what I mean?
You cruise.
I think that's my thing. Now that I'm thinking, We Got the Jazz. That song...
Memory Lane.
Like, I have something with the sax, like some instrumental.
You like the smooth.
Back in the, you know what I mean? Like those samples,
mm-hmm.
with some kind of soul, some kind of, there's something cool about that.
For sure. Well, like, that it's such a staple of hip hop for a reason, right? So that's a nice track. It's not as well known as the first five that you listed to like the average hip hop fan, but it's a good track.
I love that song.
It's a good song. Great song. I love that song myself.
And I like his flow in it. I like his voice in that song.
AZ's. Hey, man. He was Nas's rhyme partner for a reason. All right. That's a nice start to the next side.
Are you impressed?
I'm impressed. I might make a playlist of this for you. Next road trip. All Daft J songs.
But you've been pretty good in pointing out the songs that I like.
I asked you one time.
We were on a road trip.
Yeah, I said, what are your favorite...
We had time to kill.
And what it was, you asked me what my favorite ones were, and I said, I don't know what mine are for sure. I go, but I know what yours are. And you were like, no.
You know what? And I'm thinking, now that you asked this question, I'm trying to think about what it was that you said that I liked, because you were right. But I can't remember what it is that I liked.
I actually said Memory Lane, and I actually said Shook Ones.
Those two, hands down. I know those for
and
sure.
And I think the other one I listed was A Tribe Called Quest, but it was Verses from the Abstract, not We Got the Jazz, which is another one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I...
But this mixtape can only hold so much.
Yes. Yes. So, AZ, I just want to be there. I like it. Next. I like your build-up.
My pause.
Yeah.
You know who I like today? A lot.
Little Yachty. I don't know.
I'm looking at you like, what?
You're about to play Shook Ones.
I really like Common.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's such a gentleman.
Yeah.
There's something about his demeanor. There's something about his, like... I think he's a great actor. I think he's a handsome fella. You know, I think he's a respectable person. I think there's so many things about him that I like.
He's one of your favorites.
As a person, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the track I Used to Love Her.
Wow.
I also like that track. And I remember telling you that a couple years ago.
Yes.
And that's a cool track.
You got a good list. I mean, anybody could pick 10 songs, and it's hard to not pick 10 great songs, regardless which direction you go, but you got a thorough list.
See, but you're also...
I'm not biased. Don't say I'm biased, because there's a couple artists on there who I would have put that you haven't put on yet. But so far, every song is an unquestionable hallmark. Except for maybe the AZ one, it's not a hallmark, but it's a good track. But the other six are like, yes, essentials. What do you got next?
The Art of Storytelling.
From Slick Rick?
Outkast.
Okay. Slick Rick made an album called The Art of Storytelling, and he was featured on that track from Outkast. Mm. But yes, yes, good track.
Yeah, I like that song.
That's another ride too when it's sunny outside. But it's deep. There's that line from Andre 3000. Oh man, Andre 3000 in that song.
Okay, I know I said this song right now, but I keep hearing "Wanna Be There" in my head. It keeps playing in my head right now.
Yeah.
I know what I said.
Yeah.
But I'm actually listening to another song in my head right now.
It's a good thing I don't play it on the thing as you speak. Outkast, Art of Storytelling. That's the one, that line that Andre 3000 says where he's talking to the girl and she says, I asked her what she wanted to be. She said alive. Wow. That hit hard. You getting emotional?
No.
Okay.
I think these songs, I like these songs. You know what? In a lot of ways, these songs, like, they do make you take a minute. Like, they make you take a step back and reflect. These songs do that for me.
Yeah. That's the point. These are songs that you live with, right? If it's your ultimate mixtape, there's songs that you gotta live with. And they're good tracks thus far. Let's see what your last two are.
Okay, this is a little.
You're going with Cameron, oh boy.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you really? No. Oh my goodness, no. I would have tripped.
No. No, but that was a hit.
Right? Yeah, it was a hit. That was a hit. Right? All right, what do you got next?
You know what song always puts me in a good mood?
50 Cent in the club. Anticipation's killing me.
Set Adrift on Memory Bliss.
What? Yeah. PM Dawn?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Kara's one threw him off the stage.
You know what though? That joint.
Oh. Because you like Spandau Ballet song.
I really do.
Yeah, that's why.
I really do. And I like this joint too.
Okay.
It just, I float.
Oh, let's. Everybody will float, as Pennywise says.
What? You don't hear that song and feel like you just don't like.
It's alright. It's alright.
You know, just.
It's a good tune. It's a good tune. I wouldn't have ever picked it on your mixtape, to be quite honest. That one.
I just need a little of this, you know.
Yeah.
Just a little of this. It's my mixtape.
It's your mixtape. It's your mixtape. That's fine. It's your mixtape.
I like that song.
You have all the right in the world to like that song.
I do.
What's your last track? I'm happy it's not your last track.
Can I say something? I'm not. Okay. You're making me feel shame.
No shame.
But I do have two more. I have two in mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. Ready.
Remember that song from Jay-Z? 22 Twos?
Oof.
I've always liked that joint. That joint is thick. And I actually counted. When I would hear it, I would count. Like, there's one, there's two, oh, there's no three. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd actually count. Because I'm like, I want to know, is he really saying what he's saying? Is it real, real? Is it really real? You know what I mean?
Was 22. It really real?
22 twos. I feel like maybe not. But that was pretty a hot close. Joint.
That was good.
So you made me feel so shameful for my memory bliss. Yeah, 22 twos.
What was the other one? That was after
the
your bonus track.
The other one would have to be Pete Rock and CL Smooth. That Troy track.
Can we put that on instead of Drift of Memory Bliss?
Okay, you know how there's always a little bit left on the tape?
Yeah.
Can we put Memory Bliss, and then if it runs out of tape, it's okay?
Yeah, that. I'm giving you a dap for that. Fair enough. Fair enough.
That would have to be it. I'm not saying that Memory Bliss trumps those. Those would be on for sure. But I'm just saying, like, I need a joint to just, like, you know how, like, Juicy does that thing for you?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes Memory Bliss, I just need a moment to just...
I noticed there's two styles that you really like. Of, you like... Either, and they're extreme. They're extreme styles.
Are you happy?
That's a great mixtape.
Do you think it's...
That's a great mixtape.
Respectable?
Extremely, other than Set of Drift. But that's a good song. That's a classic hip-hop song. I'm not... Listen, anybody listen?
It makes me feel good.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. But I notice that you are very sentimental. Your tracks are all... reminiscent back in the day songs. That's your jam. You like Juicy, which was It Was All a Dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like Sitting in the Park on Memory Lane. You like The Art of Storytelling from Outkast. They reminisce over you. I Just Want to Be There, which is very much that reminisce feeling as well. And there's another track. Oh, We Got the Jazz. Mm. Not so much a reminisce feeling.
But it has that
it's
vibe.
A reminisce feeling.
But it has that
exactly,
vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you like the very... 22 Twos is very technical. Structured, like Ebonics. Mm. You like those songs that they've made rules.
I like this. I like this breaking down my mixtape. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. And you have those two styles that you like. You don't just necessarily like, oh, this track from this guy, or I got a ride, other than Mobb Deep and you want to stab. But that's very much like, I got to stab somebody, or I want to punch someone so hard that, you know, they die. But but you've got, like, it's very, your hip hop flavor is about the reminiscing. Even the Common, I mm-hmm. used to love her. Mm-hmm. It's all about taking memories in. That's your style. Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. Daft J's mixtape.
That would be it.
It's good choices.
That would be it.
Right?
Yeah. You? Do you?
Wow.
You have, like, you.
You know what? I could do it. I couldn't do it off the top of my head because I used to make a lot of mixtapes for fun growing up, but I used to theme them. So I would do, like, all one producer, or I would do, like you did, a mixtape where everybody was, they were very, like, personal songs, and the tempo of the beats were all very similar.
Yeah, but that wasn't, like, intention. Like, that was just...
That was very intentional. I would look at CDs, and I'd be like, oh, this song is like that.
Me, but my mixtape...
Oh, no, like, your mixtape was just from the heart.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So something like that. Do you think you could do something like that off the top of your head, or is it just too much? And the thing too, like, I want to put Mos Def on there. But
yeah.
But I can't.
Yeah.
Even if I took off Memory Bliss, like, I'd run out of tape.
Oh, you know, man. What I
mean? Like, it's tough.
It's tough. It's tough. I would probably put... I would want to take something off of my favorite albums. Each of my favorite albums and pick one. But that would be hard too because...
Okay, so how about we revisit this?
Okay.
But can you whet
what?
Can you whet our appetite?
Sure.
And tell us which ones are your favorite albums?
Favorite albums.
I know you kind of I know it was his interview.
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of his feel, but I don't know if we got enough of you. So this is your time to shine. What are the favorite albums? What can we anticipate?
Favorite albums were, that I grew up on, were Illmatic. That was a favorite album from top to bottom. My favorite song off of that would probably be a toss-up between, oh man, that's tough, toss-up between The World Is Yours with the Pete Rock scratches. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. And It Ain't Hard to Tell. That's a good one. I think that's a perfect song.
I'm like kicking myself. I'm like, that's another one.
Even Represent, like, but I would have to go with It Ain't Hard to Tell and whose World Is This? The World Is Yours. Mm-hmm. That one. I love Reasonable Doubt. My favorite song off Reasonable Doubt would be Can I Live, track 8. Just because it's...
Even though the track...
No. Yeah, track 8. Produced by Irv Gotti. But just the sample from the Dead Presidents movie. Just the
Isaac... So are you giving us your list of albums? Or are you actually giving us the mixtape?
No, those are my albums. But those are some of my, like, favorite songs off of it. A big Notorious B.I.G. fan. So... Juicy would be an option. There's a lot. I can make one mixtape of just Jay-Z songs, one mixtape of just Nas songs. Like, I could do that for you. Pick my 10 favorite from them. Like, I got so much going in my head that I...
So this is an impossible question for you, is what you're telling me.
You know what song would be on there? You know what my, like, Sunny Day, I'm Taking on the World song is?
Dear Summer.
No. This is totally out of character for me, but it's just my, like, what I'm not even a huge fan of this classic album, but this song, when it comes on, I don't, like, I just want to stop and just drive very slow. Ain't Nothing But a G Thing. If it's winter, the windows go down, the sunroof comes out, that's my jam.
Ain't Nothing But a G Thing.
Just the as soon as it hits, I lean a little bit in my seat, just a little lower, and I just lean back just a little bit, you know. that joint would be on there.
How you're scratching your head trying to figure this out.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough.
It's fun though, right?
It is fun. It's hard though, especially when you've listened and loved certain things and then grew out of it. And then, like, I used to love, one of my favorite things to do was making DJ Premier, going through all my albums and seeing there's always that one or two tracks that everybody needed their DJ Premier beat. Mm-hmm. And I used to make a mixtape of just all his beats. Mm-hmm. I used to love that. That mixtape was, every song was good on it. And it was very like rugged and like pure hip hop. Like New York State of Mind. Just off of Illmatic, you got New York State of Mind.
That's why it's the best album of all time.
You got Memory Lane and Represent, all from DJ Premier. Like, you know what I mean?
Best hip hop album.
Yeah? Better than Low End Theory? Haha. Gotcha. Which one would you pick if you had to ride to it for the rest of your life?
For the rest of my life?
You had to ride to it for the rest of your life.
Oh man, that's an impossible question.
Yeah.
Oof.
I'll let you come back to that one in the next episode. Maybe episode 100. That'll be the question you answer. Man. You know what's another good track? Is Wu-Tang. Cream.
I've seen that video.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah.
You never heard the song?
I have heard the song. It's so rowdy.
Cream?
It's so rowdy.
It's not rowdy.
Okay, the video is very rowdy.
Though. Maybe the video. We're yeah, Method Man is rowdy.
I'm like, can't they just pick a spot? Yeah, is there an ice cream truck and stuff's going on there? It's all over the place. So many of them.
You're hilarious. All right, Daf J, let's wrap it up. I want to say thank you to you for your amazing list. Let's break it down again. We got Juicy, Memory Lane from Nas. We got the Jazz, Ebonics, Mobb Deep, Shook Ones Part 2, followed by I Just Want to Be There by AZ. They Reminisce Over You, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. 22 Twos, Jay-Z.
You forgot already?
Set Adrift on the Memory Bliss. And
did we say Juicy?
You said Juicy. I'm missing one. There was Reminisce Over You, 22 Twos. I Just Want to Be There. I Used to Love Her.
Mm-hmm.
Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. And there's one more. There's that sixth one.
Outcast.
Art of Storytelling. Good tape. You got to take off Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the rest of them are just like too big. They're just too good.
You know, but then you just need that one that just, that brings you, pulls you back. Because sometimes when you get
it's like putting DJ Easy Rock and Rob Bass.
Because when you get too gassed up, things can go wrong. You know what I mean? You just need something to pull you back. Like, hold on.
No.
You're just blood and flesh. Like, you just need to, before you start going in swinging, just remember. You're 5'5". And you bleed. You know what I mean?
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thanks, Staff J, for returning to the cave.
This was fun.
One step closer to 100.
100!
We got to figure... Martin Slam Duncan wants to have a party, a fiesta at his house for 100. He's waiting for your response. I put you on the hook now. But we got to do something big for 100. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember to email us.
Thanks for listening so we can get to 100. This is cool.
Yeah. So we can get to 100.
Yeah. That we got this far. The only reason we're doing this is because people listen.
We're doing this because we like to hear ourselves talk to each other.
Why are you going to be like that?
It's the truth.
No, it's not just that. I'm not going to say I don't like myself. But I'm just saying, it's also, too, we get feedback, we get emails, we get responses. Like, there's some people out there that are actually having fun.
We got fans of Daf J.
And you know what? Thank you. Thanks for giving us your time. Sometimes a little overboard. We're about a minute 38 in here.
Yeah.
And it's a little... Yeah. But hey, we're having fun. We're having fun. The time flies by when you're having fun.
This is not the podcast for the faint of heart. You're going to be in here for a long car ride. So remember to email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Leave us a review on iTunes.
We should be the road trip podcast team.
Is that what we should be?
I'm just saying.
And we'll change the name after 100.
I'm just saying, like, I think we're the type that, you know, people can, you know, stay awake to.
Maybe.
You can get from state to state when you hook us up to your thingamabob.
What song do you want to ride out to?
Oh my goodness.
What do you want to do here?
A classic.
All right, let me cue it up for you. How's this?
Where's my joint?
Is this good? Rap to him, Daf J. I wish you had video. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Booming and you're booming and you're booming in your Jeep or your Honda or your Beamer or your Lens or your Benz. I'm brave with the town to your foes and your friends. So push it along, trails we blaze. You don't deserve the gong, you don't deserve the praise. The tranquility will make you up all your fists while we put hip hop on a brand new twist. A brand new twist with a whole heap of mystic. So low key that you probably missed it. But yet it's so loud that it stands in the crowd when the guy takes the beat. They bow. So raise up, squire, adjust your attire. We have no time to wallow in the mire. If you're on a foreign path, then let me do the lead. Join in the essence of the cool I breed. The cool out to the music, cause it makes you feel serene. With the birds and the bees and all those groovy things. Like getting stomach aches when you gotta go to work. Or staring into space when you're feeling berserk. I don't really mind if it's over your head, cause the job of resurrectors is to wake up the dead. So pay attention, it's not hard to decipher. And after the horns, you can check out the fight for